A cold front located along the Ohio River will trigger scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. A few of the storms may become severe, but severe weather is not expected in east central Illinois in the WILL severe weather coverage area today. The front will result in continued warm weather from Missouri into the Ohio Valley today, while areas further north will be cooler, but still somewhat above average for late March. High temperatures today will range from near 50 degrees across much of northern Wisconsin to near 80 degrees from central Missouri into the Ohio Valley. Low temperatures tonight will range from the mid-30s in southern Michigan to the mid-50s in southern Michigan. That doesn't make any sense at all, does it? Anyway, let's go on to our forecast. For east central Illinois this afternoon, sunny with a high of 74, breezy, the wind from the northwest at 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts to around 30. Tonight, clear, we'll see a low of 40. The wind will be out of the north from 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, sunny and a little cooler, expect a high of 62. The wind from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, showers and thunderstorms are likely. The low 48 with the wind out of the southeast from 10 to 15 miles per hour. Friday, showers and thunderstorms are likely. We'll see a high around 70 with the wind from the west at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Friday night, mostly cloudy with a low in the mid-40s. Saturday and Saturday night, partly cloudy. We'll see a high Saturday in the upper 60s and a low Saturday night in the low 50s. Going out to Sunday and Sunday night, partly cloudy with a high Sunday in the upper 70s and the low Sunday night in the upper 50s. And let's go back to that discussion where we talked about low temperatures. Low temperatures tonight will range from the mid-30s in southern Michigan to the mid-50s in southern Missouri. Now that makes sense. At noon central time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana ranged from the low 60s to the mid-70s. A lot of sunshine reported across the two states at noon. In Rockford, 61 degrees. At Chicago, 64. In Bloomington, 67. In Mattoon, 72. Carbondale, 76. At South Bend, it was 63 degrees at noon or at 1 o'clock. This is Lafayette reported 71 degrees. Indianapolis, 72. Terre Haute, 75. Willard Airport reported a sunny sky at the top of the hour, 73 degrees. The dew point, 38. The relative humidity, 27%. The wind out of the northwest at 15. The barometric pressure, 29.99. And steady. And at 1240, 71 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. As arguments over the constitutionality of the federal health care law continue at the Supreme Court, one local supporter of the law is pointing out its benefits. The group, Champaign County Healthcare Consumers, says even though the law has not been fully implemented, it is already helping the people they serve. Illinois Public Media's Jim Meadows spoke with Healthcare Consumers Executive Director Claudia Lenhoff. She had supported a single-payer health care system, but says the law now in place goes a long way towards improving health care coverage in America.
I think the provision where parents can add children up to age 26 to their health insurance has made a big difference. We've been able to work with parents as well as young adults to be able to get on their parents' health insurance. I think the other thing is for Medicare beneficiaries not having to pay the copay for preventive services. And then anybody who has been currently insured but develops a serious illness like cancer or has a major health problem, the fact that they still remain insured and there was no gap in their coverage and there was no interruption of their coverage and there was no problem with their coverage, that is a huge benefit. Basically, anybody who has had insurance throughout this time has benefited from that.
Has that changed, for instance, what problems people are bringing to your office? Is that, say, a category of problems that no longer exists or exists a lot less because of that change?
Definitely. You know, in the past, we used to have cases of people who, like one lady who I remember who had just gotten diagnosed with cancer tumors in her brain, And all of a sudden, when she was just about to start receiving treatment, she got noticed that her health plan had been dropped and that she would not be covered for that, and then was scrambling to get health insurance. So we don't see those kinds of cases anymore, thank goodness.
What sort of questions are people asking your organization about the health care law?
Most of the questions I think that we're getting are from consumers who are trying to figure out if they might be eligible for health insurance now, and if so, what kind of health insurance. So, you know, we have some people who were able to direct to the Illinois Pre-Existing Condition Health Insurance Plan, and then other people who, depending on their age, we may be able to refer them to the provision about that they can get on their parents' insurance.
Are you working with employers at all, and what sort of questions might they have?
We have worked with some employers, and we're actually trying to get the word out that small employers, if they have 25 or fewer employees, and if they pay 50% or more of those premiums, and if the average salary for their employees is under $50,000, that they are eligible for a tax rebate for paying the health insurance premiums. And we've started to work with, there's a small business locally and then also a small nonprofit who want to find out more about how they go about applying to get that rebate. And Healthcare Consumers ourselves actually applied for that and was able to receive a tax rebate of over $2,800.
If this law, or part of this law, is struck down by the Supreme Court, what then?
Well, my understanding is that the main issue that could happen at the Supreme Court has to do with the individual mandate, and that if the individual mandate is struck down, there's a question about whether the rest of the law survives intact. All of the information I have says that it would survive intact and that it would still move forward, but basically what would be missing, you know, there's sort of a carrot and a stick to try to get people to take health insurance, and the stick would be gone from the penalty for people who don't enroll and take the insurance. However, I actually think that if the rest of the law is implemented and it holds its promise to make health insurance affordable to Americans, especially Americans below 400% of the federal poverty level, I think people who are currently uninsured will want to get health insurance.
Affordable Care Act supporter Claudia Lenhoff of Champaign County Healthcare Consumers. She spoke with Jim Meadows. You can hear this interview online at will.illinois.edu. Tomorrow, we'll hear from a critic of the healthcare law, the Illinois director of the National Federation of Independent Business. That group is one of the plaintiffs in the case now before the Supreme Court. Today is the last day of oral arguments in the case, and you can hear a wrap-up tonight at 8 on AM 580 and online at will.illinois.edu. Playwright and satirist Ken Bradbury has published some 250 plays and 7 books. In his latest comedy, Stoops, the 62-year-old from rural Cass County pokes fun at growing old and small-town life. As Illinois Public Radio's Peter Gray tells us in this artist profile, Bradbury has learned over the years that if you can't laugh at the ups and downs of life, you may be in big trouble.
The funniest people I know are over 60. No offense to anyone who's under 30, but not much sense of humor in the younger generations.
Writing for laughs has been a way of life for Ken Bradbury since he first picked up a pen to write an original play for his students at Triopia High School. Retired after more than 3 decades of teaching public school, the Ahrensville-based artist has just debuted his latest comedy, Stoops, the story of two aging neighbor ladies who laugh and bicker their way through good times and bad in their quiet Midwest town.
It was stupid to have a sign that said one-way street and then not say which way.
Well, the other guy wasn't hurt.
Policemen wear seatbelts.
Bradbury first saw the humor, in the words of small-town septuagenarians, when he opened up his local newspaper.
Once upon a time, 30 years ago, as a joke, I came up with a newspaper column. I live in an area where they still have these hometown weeklies where you send in the news of your area, and sometimes the correspondent will tell you not only when she got a shampoo, but what sort of shampoo that she used. I loved them, and I thought they were funny, so I made up a name.
Bradbury's mother, Frieda Marie, inspired his own nom de plume, Frieda Marie Crump, For decades, the fictitious columnist has weighed in on life in her tiny imaginary town of Coon Ridge, and she now graces the pages of more than a dozen newspapers across the Midwest. Bradbury says the out-of-state papers think he is actually a little old lady writing.
Here's one where she talks about her aunt. She said, "My Aunt Alberta did not grow old with grace. She fought aging tooth and nail until one of them finally gave in. While her other elderly friends bemoaned the agonies of bad hips and loose dentures, Alberta laughed her way into the grave. The woman was a riot. If she had her way, she'd have done the eulogy for her own funeral, and she brought her own laugh track."
He connects with the community. He understands the small town. He's been to the big city. I think his ability to relate to people helps with that expression in what he writes.
Bill Bowser of the Springfield Theater Center has collaborated on plays with Bradbury for years and calls the writer a man of deep-rooted values who is highly respected within the area's theater community.
Every person that has worked with him has come away with, has gained something by working with him.
A man of faith, Bradbury says he doesn't like to preach in his writing, but he says all theater has a point to it.
The point of the play is, if you lose the ability to laugh, you're in big trouble.
Bradbury's play Stoops uses comedy as a lesson for people helping parents and grandparents through their twilight years, and it was partly inspired by these verses read by Dylan Thomas, which the Welsh poet wrote as his own father was on his deathbed.
"Do not go gentle into that good night. Old age should burn and rave at close of day. Rage, rage against the dying of the light."
Bradbury says that in his play, as in real life, family, friends, and neighbors become a critical sounding board for those dealing with issues of grief and loss.
You've got to have someone to bounce the world off of, but if you say it to a wall, there's no relief in that.
Whether audiences pick up a play's deeper message or simply respond to his jokes, Bradbury says connecting with a live audience is the most gratifying part of writing, especially in an era of on-demand comedy and entertainment.
My goodness, with TV and movies, by the time that stuff hits the screen, you don't recognize it at all. But with theater, you know, whether it's good or bad, that was mine. And I'll live or die on the audience response that night.
Mark Twain once wrote, "Laughter without a tinge of philosophy is but a sneeze of humor. Genuine humor is replete with wisdom." Ken Bradbury, who was born in 1949 in Quincy, just 30 miles up the Mississippi River from Samuel Clemens' birthplace, says when it comes to his humor, his best idea is always the next one.
"To me, the perfect day is to wake up in the morning and have a good idea to write about."
I'm Peter Gray.
This week, it's special coverage from NPR News. The U.S. Supreme Court considers the constitutionality of the Affordable Care Act, President Obama's signature health care law. It's one of the most important legal and policy cases of our generation. I'm Jennifer Ludden. Join me for a daily recap of each day's arguments. That's special coverage from NPR News. The Supreme Court debates health care.
Tonight at 8 on AM 580.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday, the 28th of March, 2012. It's the birthday of Nelson Algren, 1909, Detroit. He grew up in Chicago's immigrant neighborhoods, wrote his first story, So Help Me, during the Great Depression, while he was working at a gas station in Texas. Nelson Algren was caught stealing a typewriter, spent 5 months in jail, and after that his work was about the down and out, the loser, the reject. He became known as a writer of Chicago, Algren, who said, "If a writer could write the truth about one Chicago street, that would be a good life's work." A Walk on the Wild Side, set in the world of pimps and prostitutes in New Orleans. It was in that book that Algren gave his famous three rules for life. Never play cards with a man called Doc. Never eat at a place called Mom's. Never sleep with a woman whose troubles are worse than your own. Nelson Algren said, "A certain ruthlessness and a sense of alienation from society is as essential to creative writing as it is to armed robbery." It's the birthday of Mario Vargas Llosa, born in Arequipa in southern Peru, 1936, went to a military academy in Lima, which he hated, and which inspired his first novel, The Time of the Hero. He ran for the presidency of Peru in 1990 against Alberto Fujimori. He lost. Lasso subsequently renounced politics. He said literature and politics are mutually exclusive. A writer is someone who works alone, who needs total independence. A politician is someone who is totally dependent, who has to make all kinds of concessions, the very thing a writer can't do. His latest book, The Dream of the Celt, published in Spanish 2 years ago, English translation will be published later this year. It's the birthday of Russell Banks, Newton, Massachusetts, 1940, whose latest novel is Lost Memory of Skin, inspired by an encampment of sex offenders living under a causeway near Banks's Miami high-rise apartment. It was on this day, 1941, Virginia Woolf committed suicide by drowning.